You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. Can help get the Henday built. Obviously, it's easy to say, man, the Padres, for sure, they got Juan Soto, and they've got him for 2.5 years at least. Now, they got a boatload of payroll there, but what do you make of like, they don't really, they're not a big market team, but man, are they spending like a big market team?
Well, yeah, and I think one of the things that we may learn from all of this is that all of the major league teams are capable, if they want to spend money to get good players. And once you get a good team together, perhaps you might make even more money. So maybe if the Padres can turn this into a World Series championship or something, a deep run into October, maybe some of those teams that have been lagging behind in terms of payroll will kind of follow their lead. I would love to see that.
So how do you evaluate the return the Nationals got, or how long is it going to take to evaluate what they got?
Well, it's going to take a while, you know, maybe a decade before we really know if all of these prospects, because they're all of them, you know, with the exception of veteran Luke Voit, are 23 or younger, and it takes a little bit of time. Mackenzie Gore, the left-handed pitcher, who was the number 3 overall pick in 2017, has made it to the majors, looked really good at the beginning of this year. And C.J. Abrams, the shortstop, who was number 6 overall in 2019, made it to the majors and didn't look great. But those guys just getting a taste of major league action, and then the other guys behind them, this has the makings of a blockbuster type. I mean, you guys are familiar with the Wayne Gretzky trade. I mean, it's along those proportions, I think, for baseball. I don't think we've ever seen anything quite like it, certainly in one trade deadline, in one deal. So, yeah, this is potentially huge for the Nationals and also potentially huge for the Padres.
Oh yeah, it's a massive deal, no question about it. And the Padres, you look at overall, and you mentioned, can they go deep? Are they deep enough, do you think, now to compete with the Dodgers?
I think they are, and you know, they're getting not only Josh Bell in that trade with Juan Soto, who can fill a nice, you know, a nice open spot there at first base, actually not be a liability against left-handed pitchers as Eric Hosmer was. They're also getting Fernando Tatis Jr. back here in another couple of weeks or so. At least that's what it looks like. And when you can put Soto and Tatis and Josh Bell and Manny Machado together at the top of the lineup, that's just fearsome. And it would strike fear into anybody's heart. And so, yeah, I think they can compete with the Dodgers. The pitching staff is solid. And at the trade deadline, they even got Josh Hader to shore up the back of the bullpen. So, yeah, this is a Padres team that is certainly built to win and win now.
A lot of the fans, I think, of the Blue Jays were looking for, you know, something big, and they didn't maybe get big, but they got a lot. So, you know, how do you look at their acquisitions, namely the arms they got to help out the pitching staff?
Well, yeah, you definitely have to have. And I think the Blue Jays have a lot of potential of being able to make some noise in October as well, because if you've got Alek Manoah and Kevin Gausman fronting that rotation, those two studs can take you an awful long way. And so to bolster the bullpen, Anthony Bass is pretty good, has been outstanding, I think we can say, this year. And Zach Pop, good lefty. He can come in any number of different situations. And then, you know, I don't know what to make of the Whit Merrifield acquisition. I mean, he's a solid veteran, can give you speed, but we don't know, you know, he'll be able to play on the road trip. But what happens when he gets back to Toronto, I think is up in the air. Maybe you all have a better insight on that than I do, but from everything I heard, it's all status quo.
Oh, because I thought that he had said if he would get traded to a contender, he would get vaccinated. So,
yeah, I mean, that's what he said then. I don't know if he actually followed through on that. And then, you know, even if he did, it takes, 14 days or something like that to be fully vaccinated. They're going to be back in Toronto, like, with 4 home games before he could, you know, if he just got vaccinated once the trade happened. There's an awful lot of unanswered questions still with that, but it's that was one of the most surprising deals, I think, of any yesterday.
What about the Atlanta Braves? And, you know, you get the deal that they made kind of at the last minute. There's a lot of people that feel, you know, that's a really good move by Anthopoulos.
Well, you know, you can't certainly question Alex Anthopoulos's ability to make deals to put a team over the top. I mean, they certainly made a number of those last year in getting to the World Series and winning. The Jake Odorizzi for Will Smith deal, it seems to me that maybe, you know, shows that they're not 100% confident in Charlie Morton, maybe making the, you know, why did they need, you know, the excess pitching in the rotation when Will Smith was so good for them down the stretch last year, one of their best pitchers in the entire postseason, and one of the keys to the World Series win. So I think what the Braves need most is Ronald Acuna to get back into being the Ronald Acuna we saw at the beginning of the year. I mean, he slumped for a month or so right now, and they certainly need him to drive that team and propel them forward into the playoffs.
Iglesias and Jansen, though, late in a game, my goodness, that could be pretty terrifying. Yeah. For opposing batters.
Oh yeah, that's true. And I guess if you you can afford to trade Will Smith if you're getting Raisel Iglesias back, and so that definitely, I mean, they have the left-handed arms in that bullpen, and now with Jansen and Iglesias, they have the right-handed arms as well. So yeah, it's and Robbie Grossman too. You know, he's another guy that can be one of those glue players that somehow seems to come alive in the postseason. I mean, every year it seems like there's those unheralded guys that come through. It could be Robbie Grossman this year for Atlanta. It was a solid pickup from Detroit.
How about the Seattle Mariners? And obviously they had the big arm in Castillo, but maybe speak about his addition, what that means to specifically the Blue Jays, but some of the other players they brought in to make that team a much more dangerous group.
Yeah, I love the fact that the Mariners went all out to get who I thought was the premier starting pitcher on the trade market in Luis Castillo. He's been great, even in Cincinnati, which is definitely a hitter's park. He'll enjoy the Seattle atmosphere a lot better. And you know, if Robbie Ray can come close to what he did, you know, in Toronto last year and give them that push at the end, that's going to be huge for them. And then, you know, the other pieces, I don't know. I mean, you get a backup catcher in Kurt Casale. You get a left-handed bat in Jake Lamb. I mean, not earth-shattering moves by any means, but you have to have depth in the playoffs as well. And so I think that they bolstered that, which was important from their angle as well.
Steve Gardner joins us discussing the Major League Baseball trade deadline that went down yesterday, of course, from USA Today. And Steve, with the expanded playoffs, I think we saw what baseball wanted. It led to a lot more movement at the trade deadline, right? You know, we haven't even got to Philly and Milwaukee and, you know, St. Louis, who have all added some pieces. I think the Phillies and the Brewers maybe, you know, adding more. And they probably won because the Cardinals didn't get Juan Soto. Then a lot of people had them, you know, trying to get
right.
him. So what do you make of that race? And do you think that the connection to this many more big deals has to do with the expanded playoffs?
I don't want to put all the emphasis on something that we just have 1 year of evidence for, but it does make a lot of sense. You know, if you have extra playoff spots available, then teams that may have been further out in previous years have a little bit more of a puncher's chance. I think, too, it also kind of made teams that were on the verge, you know, right in that middle ground, made some retreat, like Baltimore. I know it would have been fun to see the Orioles. I'm a longtime Orioles fan, grew up an Orioles fan. Would have been fun to see them try and go for it a little bit. Instead, you know, they got they traded Trey Mancini and their closer Jorge Lopez, and they've taken a step backward now. And I don't know what Boston has done. They did both buying and selling, and
yeah.
I think spun their wheels. So there's still a lot of teams there in that middle, but at least the reward for being in that middle is the possibility over the last 2 months of the season you could get hot and get into that playoff picture. And with the expanded playoffs and more games to go through, you've got even a little bit better chance, perhaps, of making it to the World Series.
Let's talk about a team that I'm a little bit confused by, the Cubs. You know, why didn't they move out Happ and Contreras?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest. I mean, and you had a ready-made team in the Mets who needed a catcher. And was it a case of the Mets just overvaluing their own prospects? Or did the Cubs really not feel motivated to move Wilson Contreras when we just found out that there will be, you know, a compensation pick attached to players that are free agents that get a qualifying offer this year? So I don't know. I mean, Ian Happ still had another year under the team control, so they can do the same thing with him this offseason. They can look at the market, reassess, or next year's trade deadline if things aren't going well. But he's an exciting player, and I think they probably wanted to see what they have and keep him. Contreras, though, free agent at the end of the year, and that just baffled me, because we know the Cubs are not afraid of getting rid of, you know, players who've been there for a good long time. We saw that at last year's trade deadline. We didn't see it at this year's.
Right now, when you look at it and you've seen all the roster moves, are the Yankees still the best team in your eyes, the Dodgers? Who do you like now that all the rosters are complete, assuming everybody's healthy come playoff time?
Yeah, I think that's the real key, you know, and if the Dodgers can get Justin Turner and Chris Taylor and Dustin May and maybe even Walker Buehler back, they look an awful lot stronger than they were, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. So I have to think, just, you know, with the Dodgers, with Freddie Freeman and Trey Turner and Mookie Betts, seem to be still the favorites in the National League to me. They've got the best record, will probably have home field throughout the National League playoffs. So, yeah, everybody has to aim at them, and will have to fight amongst themselves to get to have to play the Dodgers. In the American League, the Yankees did get better. But I worry a little bit about Frankie Montas and how good he was at home in Oakland in that big ballpark, and his ERA of, 2.61 at home, but then over 5 on the road. And, you know, what Frankie Montas are the Yankees getting? You know, he's also a guy that's coming off some shoulder problems and may not be 100% healthy. There may be a risk of re-injury, especially with the workloads that starting pitchers get in the postseason and down the stretch. So, yeah, I think the Yankees got better, but I like the Astros and what they did. Trey Mancini coming in from Baltimore, providing them with a lift offensively, hit a home run today into the Crawford boxes, and you just know his eyes are lighting up to see, you know, that fence in left center field at 360-some feet instead of 390 or 400 or, you know, the new dimensions at Camden Yards this year. So I like what the Astros have done. Getting Will Smith gives them that left-hander in the bullpen that they did not have. And, you know, hey, the Astros have been to the ALCS each of the last 5 years, so plenty of experience there. I think they're the team to beat, even though the Yankees have been the class of the AL all season long, pretty much. The Astros, to me, are the team to watch out for.
Awesome stuff, man. We appreciate it. Thanks for the breakdown, Steve.
You bet. Anytime, guys. Thank you.